Hello, everybody. This is Jake Senzio, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, best-selling author, the G-Daddy. Gino Barber, Gino, how's it going?
Jake, 9 degrees up in New York. I'm in Florida. I'm doing fantastic, my friend. How you doing, bro?
Dude, you're just sticking it in and twisting to all your past Yankees.
I'm pulling it out, and I'm sticking it back in and twisting, bro. That's what I'm doing right now. For all you psychos that are still living in New York, come down. Tennessee's open. Florida's open. I'm just giving you the invitation.
You're selfishly looking for population growth to fuel your real estate.
I really am, dude.
Anyways, today's guest is acclaimed author and international speaker. He is the host of The Money Is Show, where he's interviewed hundreds of experts, including masters of industry like Kevin O'Leary and Gary Vaynerchuk. Speaking of Gary V, there's a hilarious meme going around, someone imitating right now. You got to check that online. So without further ado, Andrew Cordo, welcome to the show.
How's it going, man? Glad we can finally connect you on the show, man.
Hey, it is our pleasure. And why don't you just get this kicked off with everybody? Give us a little bit about your background and how you got into the business, how you got started.
Yeah. So first, I'm going to agree with Gino on this one, man. You better get to Florida. Taxes and asset protection is the haven of it all, man. Mm. So I am a resident of Florida I moved down there probably, I'm from Georgia, but I moved down as I was going through just taxes and asset protection and going deeper into it and offshore asset protection. It all circled for America. It all circles down to Florida. That's the kingpin, man. So if you're in business, dude, you should look into it for sure. So
if you believe in property rights, you know, where it all starts, right?
Yeah. So I'm a huge opponent of Florida for sure. On that note, man, as far as where I got started, dude, I'm a serial entrepreneur. You know, I always say entrepreneurship chose me. I didn't choose it. I think I was born with it. I think some entrepreneurs are not born with it and they kind of create it and become one. And the others are born with it. And I was one that was born with it and is part of me forever. And so through college, I started my first company in college out of necessity. And we can talk about it if you want to. And then from there, launched into real estate. That's actually how I first got into real estate. I knew in college that I wanted to do real estate. Now I was in college to become a school teacher. Both my parents are school teachers and I went to college to become a school teacher. And then after my freshman year, I realized how much teachers made. And I was like, oh crap, dude, I'm going to be stuck. You know, because like most families, we never talked about money. That was never even mentioned. You know, especially when you have school teachers as parents, money's never brought up. And so I stayed in, I finished and I have my degree in it. But while there, I started my first company and then started reading books and attending meetups, listening. I did not listen to podcasts back then. I would have now if I was getting into it. And I would sit in class with whatever book they were teaching and have a freaking real estate book in front of that book, reading it in class. I knew I wanted to go into real estate from there. And so that's how I got into it. I graduated college. And as soon as I made a decision, as soon as I graduated, I was going to buy a house that summer. And I stuck with it, man. That summer, I graduated and made myself, I didn't know. I thought I actually knew quite a bit, to be honest with you, because I had read like all these books and attended all these events and conferences. And I thought I was fairly educated and then bought a house, realized I was not very smart at it. However, I always say, man, in entrepreneurship, I always think there's pieces of it that are luck, that is a part of business. And when I started my real estate career, it was 2004. And if you know the market in 2004, freaking anybody that had not even a breath could flip houses, because I think I saw some dead people on mortgages flipping houses at some points back in a pre-crash. And so I got into real estate and the rest from there is history, man.
How would you start a business? Well, let's go back to when you first started a business then to starting a business now. What are the differences? Back then you said started multiple businesses. I heard, you know, before we started recording, you've started 23 and you have 23 businesses running. What's the difference from the beginning entrepreneur to the Andrew Cordo, the mature entrepreneur now?
Yeah, dude, that's a really good question. I think if I break it down and try to help that entrepreneur that you're referring to right there, you know, when you're born an entrepreneur, you have a new idea every 35 seconds that is like groundbreaking and badass.
Mine is 60 seconds, not 35, 60.
Yeah, so it's perfect.
You know, it scares the shit out of the team about twice a day. Because they're like, how the hell we can implement this?
They say I plug myself in. I don't plug myself in. Everybody, you got to love what you do. You got to be juiced up. You got to be passionate. I love what I do. I want to inspire the team. I want to do more than they do. So they say, how's he doing it? I have to reach up to Gino, not reach down below to Gino. I need to reach up.
They're saying, oh shit, here he comes again. He's going to beat me to death.
No, I tell him, I'm coming in hot, people. You better be fucking ready for me because I'm coming in hot. And all of a sudden, they just like start laughing. So, and listen, don't make excuses. I got six kids. We homeschool. I've got multiple businesses. I got Jay calling me 3-4 times a day talking about his proposition. transitions in well. So don't make excuses. You either make it happen or you make an excuse. You can't do both. Sorry, Andrew, for interrupting you.
Yep.
You got him triggered there.
Well, it's he's not used to the snowflakes, and he got triggered very quickly right there. So yeah, no, but you know, Gina, what you're saying is 100% true, man. You know, all of us, we can make excuses or you can go make shit happen. Those are your two options, especially when you're a first generation entrepreneur. Like, dude, these are your choices. You can sit here and gripe about it. You got dealt a good card, a bad card, a shitty hand, whatever it is. We all have our backgrounds. We all have our stories. We all have things that we probably look back and say, oh my God, I probably shouldn't be successful right now from where I started from. But it's a mental choice that you have to make that says, screw it, I'm gonna go figure this thing out. But the advice I'd give entrepreneurs that were starting out, okay, difference between me starting then and me now, is now we have a massive infrastructure. I mean, total throughout all the companies, there's probably about 1,000 employees. So for us now to go start a new venture, it's not very difficult. Really now the question is more about what's the scalability of this? Is this can we make this a 10 million, 100 million, $1 billion company? And it, you know, the questions change because it was like, oh, well, yeah, we can make 3 million off of it. It's at the point where it's almost like, well, it's probably not worth our time right now. We need to focus on other things that we can make more money off of. But that's because we have massive infrastructure right now. The problem with most entrepreneurs when they get started, of course, they have no infrastructure. It's just them. They're a solopreneur. And they try to do 6, 7, 8, 9 businesses at the same time. And my advice to you is find the one that you can just start building. And as hard as it is out of the gate, build that one as quick and as fast as you can. Put some blinders on, get that one off the ground where you can have some capital. It may not be your forever business, but you have some working capital. You have some cash flow. You can hire an implementer because where most entrepreneurs, we are not implementers. We are visionaries. We are dreamers and we are builders. We are not implementers. And so the first person that I would hire, I would build a company that I could get some cash flow in and immediately go hire an implementer so that I could start building the empire from there. That's what I would do differently now if I could.
So Jake, he's talking basically about in multifamily, let's bring it to multifamily. You're buying your first, second, third deal. Get a property manager. Don't be managing the property. Even if you want to build that company, get somebody to help with that. Your highest and best use is buying that next deal or talking to investors. And Andrew, how do you overcome the I'm a mentality? I'm going to do this. I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to change the toilet. That's very hard for the beginning entrepreneur because we're the bootstrappers. Jake and
especially
I
took folks that come from the middle class, right? Like you're taught that you need to do everything. You can't hire employees. So many people struggle there.
How did you get over that mentality?
Yeah, it's another great point entrepreneurs struggle with. For me, I always focused on the scalability side. I was, as an entrepreneur, I wanted to, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs like this, I want to, bigger than just making money and making enough money to pay for my family and then take care of my mom and dad and take care of brothers and sisters. Like there's always that stuff we want to do. But I think a lot of true entrepreneurs, if they were really honest with themselves, they want to make a freaking difference. Like they want to go do some stuff. They got some big, big dreams that are out there. And what's going to get in your way of that is this crap of you cutting grass. I mean, in real estate, I cannot tell you how many times I saw real estate investors. They were the ones wanting to do the demolition. Oh, it's like, oh, well, I could go rip this carpet out. I mean, it has saved me $300. The difference between me and them, because I had tons of buddies who were doing that, was I focused on what you said. You know, I focused on what is my next deal? Who is my next investor partner that I can bring in? Where's my next capital coming from? What is the next opportunity of a house or an apartment that I could go get into? That was my talent. That was my strength. My strength was not ripping up carpet. I mean, I obviously we could go do it, but that's a $12, whatever the hour is, job now, right? Versus the person who knows how to go talk to the person and find the capital. That's the real money. That's the real player. That's where your talent is. It's very important that you put your strength where your strength is. We all have born with God-given talents. Use that to the maximum. And you got to let this small stuff go by the wayside because it is what's holding you back from accomplishing your real dreams and visions that are out there.
Jake usually asks this question about books and resources and short answer, but can you give an entrepreneur a book or a resource to help them that? I mean, I love Atomic Habits for habit building. I love Scaling Up. I love Traction. Any books that you could say, here's a blueprint that I use or a mentor that I followed or that I really enjoyed that I gravitated towards that can help me on this subject?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of things here, a book, but I also want to give you something more, I think more important than that, I want to give you a philosophy. So when I got started in the business, you know, for 1 year, I read a book a month and that was really cool. And then 1 year, you know, we're around New Year's now, whatever, beginning of the year. And I decided a long time ago, I was going to read a book a week. And that was hard. You gotta plan that. You gotta schedule that and go read a book a week. And I wrote a book report about each book because I want it. And I still have it this day. I have a 3-ring binder with 52 book reports inside of it. And reading is extremely important. It's a slow growth, but it's very, very important for what we have to do inside of it. To answer your question directly though, then I'm gonna give you a philosophy. One of my favorite books I ever read was a book called Getting Things Done by a guy named David Allen. And it's just because, again, I think that entrepreneurs, we need a way to stay organized. And a lot of entrepreneurs are not very, very structured and very organized. We are more creative mind side. When I read a book called Getting Things Done, it just gave me a basic foundation of how I could organize everything from files in my filing cabinet to inbox and so forth. There's things that I've added onto that in my own philosophy now, but just understand Getting Things Done was a great one. Another one that I absolutely love that I have used for the last probably 20 years is a book that I called Blue Ocean Strategy. And I think Blue Ocean Strategy is one of the greatest books maybe ever written out there, man. Especially for entrepreneurs, understanding red oceans and blue oceans is extremely, extremely important inside of it. There's a lot of other books.
Let's kick it around a little bit. Like you want to share any of your, and I'd love to share mine, any of your blue ocean strategy or techniques in terms of how you're looking at your business right now?
Yeah, for sure. For us, you know, without getting into blue ocean and red ocean, assuming let's just start from the standpoint of people know what the difference is. Dude, there's a whole new freaking world out here called NFTs and metaverse. If people are not starting to dive into that, that is blue ocean at the bluest that it could freaking possibly be right now. It is as blue as a water has ever been created of a blue ocean in our lifetime is the metaverse right now. And people just do not understand what is going to happen inside of the metaverse and NFT world. But in 5-10 years from now, we will not have the same working environment. We will not have the same lifestyles that we have now. Metaverse is a real, it is a new world that is created. It is being created right now. And it is a thing that is going to freaking happen. That is the biggest blue ocean thing out there. So for my business, I'm looking around trying to figure out where does NFTs, which again, most NFTs are a big pile of crap that are out there right now, but the concept of NFTs and smart contracts is a real freaking thing. And it will be a way that we all live our lives in the very, very near future of not just the draw a picture and sell it, not that NFT. I think that's a big pile of crap NFT. I'm talking about the actual technology behind the NFT, the transactional values of what NFTs can do. So for me, when I'm looking at my company right now, I'm looking inside of my businesses thinking, where can I apply this blue ocean of NFT and metaverse? And so we're launching right now. I'm probably hopefully 90 days away from launching a massive NFT platform. Gina, go back to what you said earlier. I find what I love to go do. That's what I want to spend my time in. I love certain things. I love sports cards. I absolutely love sports cards. And so I take what I love, which is sports card, and I try to find blue ocean that are inside of that industry. And so I tied sports cards into NFT world, and we're launching a massive platform in about probably 90 days from now, as we're talking right now in that world. That's a blue ocean one for me right now.
Jake, hit your blue ocean, bro.
No, and I think there's a couple ways to look at this too, because there's first mover advantage where you're entering a space and you don't have much competition. So the blue ocean versus the red ocean. The red ocean is commodities. It's bloody. Everyone's beating the shit out of each other for 1 cent and everything is price driven. The blue ocean is a land of less competition where your product or your service or whatever has a uniqueness to it that people are willing to pay for. People are probably sick of me talking about it right now, but I believe Chick-fil-A has a blue ocean. When you're driving down the road in Knoxville, where I live, there are fucking cars around the line into the damn highway trying to get in to get a damn chicken sandwich, where if you drive past McDonald's, you can get in and it probably takes just as long to process your request. What the hell is going on with that? That is a blue ocean customer service type experience. Exactly what we do in our multifamily business. We focus on creating a great customer experience to separate ourselves so we can get the price we're asking for in rent. So our people are sticky. They stay around. They renew with us. Yes, there's apartment complexes all over, but we're creating a blue ocean through our customer experience that's different from other folks. And that's our blue ocean strategy. So there's the first mover part where you're entering in first and you're not competing because there's just people aren't aware of it. But then there's also a uniqueness to what you're doing that allows you to not have to compete with the sharks in the red Red Ocean. So it's beautiful stuff.
And Jake, on the Jake and Gino side, we want to become the white glove service of multifamily education. How do you do that? Yes. We want to have a net promoter score of 85 or greater. And we're at 95% right now. Yep. Students have closed over 35,000 units. We want to be, I don't want to say boutique-ish, but reading that book, Small Giants by Bo Burlingham, I'm creating a company where we have that blue ocean strategy. We have unique touch points with the students. We have boot camps. We have all of this. We're writing books. Our coaches are launching books with us. We're creating that in that form of it. And that's where my passion lies. And I'm like Andrew was saying, it's really all about impacting and creating a business that has impact for its employees, number one, because if employees are jazzed up, we can talk core values and mission statement. If we're living by that, then all of a sudden that translates into the customers. And then ultimately the customers or the clients, it translates into the shareholder, into the value. This is a serious question, Andrew, because I see you're a serial entrepreneur. You're all over the place. You have shiny object syndrome. That's great. Do you ever wonder sometimes you may not be creating long-term wealth because you may be jumping from one idea to the next? And they're all great ideas. In life coaching, we call that a high anabolic level of energy where everything's an opportunity. And I'm guilty of this also until I met Jake and I said, let's focus on multifamily and any business surrounding around multifamily. What do your team members say to you? Say, hey, Andrew, that's an amazing idea, but that's pulling us off course. How do you stay on course by continuing to create that generational wealth and what we call legacy wealth and also legacy skills? Because you're creating amazing skills that you want to transfix and move over into the next generation, whether it's your kids, whether it's your employees. How do you stay on course?
Yeah, and great question. I think that for me, it's about filters. And so in my business, being a serial entrepreneur, I set out our yearly goals and objectives. I'm running about 7 different divisions right now underneath me. I have different yearly objectives for each of those companies. Then from yearly, I then break it down from quarterly. What do we need to do every quarter to reach that yearly? And then from quarterly, I break it down to a month, what our objectives are, and then our weekly task that we need to accomplish this week to make sure we hit our monthly, to make sure we hit quarterly, to make sure we hit our main objective. Then what I did is I put people in place around me. And one of them is my executive assistant. And I work my executive assistant probably a lot different than most people do. My executive assistant is the only person that I actually work for in my company. I report to her, not the other way around. I don't use my EA as just someone who runs errands for me. My EA is probably my right hand. She's my most important person kind of that's around me. And what she does is she blocks my calendar. So I'm always just by nature of habit wanting to say, hey, let's go look at this or let's go look at this opportunity. And it always comes back down to, hey, Andrew, if you take that appointment, because I have in my own calendar, I have a read only calendar. I'm not even allowed to edit my own freaking calendar. Only she can, because I'll screw it up and do stuff I'm not supposed to. And so I have to send my appointments to her. And then everything is based off of, hey, does this help? If you take this meeting, you take this phone call, you take this Zoom, you take this podcast, does this help us accomplish our yearly goal at the end of the year? That's one way that I stay on track is I create filters and systems to like bumper lanes in a bowling lane to keep me on track. Saying that though, my strength is pursuing opportunity. That is one of my God-given strengths. Therefore, I do have in my calendar block time that I'm allowed to go pursue new opportunities. I want to go down the road. I want to see what's there. I want to see if I meet this person, where does this lead into? Is there something that I'm not seeing right now that's happening on the marketplace? And so I have block schedule time where I'm allowed to pursue opportunities. The last thing I'll tell you is, as a leader of a company, I made a lot of mistakes at the beginning where as a visionary, as having different opportunities, I would bring my team in and I would start telling about these new things that got going on, these new opportunities that are out there. It creates some insane amount of confusion for your team.
When you're freaking people out too.
You freak them out. And people jump off your ship because they're like, oh my God, I don't know where this thing is going. I feel like we're just sitting in a big hurricane right now. So it's very important that before I ever launch it to my actual team, it goes through again, filters first that allows me by the time I actually get it to my actual full team, it has been vetted. It has been verified. It has been pondered on, thought on, counseled on. Okay, now we're going to make this move. And then it's released into the team at an actual outgoing of here's the plan moving forward. So shiny objects are a real thing. It's learning how to put filters around me first with bumper lanes, allowing me to still play in my strength, which is chasing and looking for new opportunities with block schedule. And then making sure that when I do have things that I'm working on, I don't just go around talking about them. I keep those very tight first and then release them when it's time.
Big shout out to MCK, my booking czar, executive assistant. Mackenzie, I just figured out that I'm working for you now. because I didn't really have power in my calendar. She's booking, you know, end of last year in December.
You need to start beating your ass then, man.
No,
Mackenzie, you got to step it up here.
I see my calendar like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mackenzie, you got to start booking out a couple hours a day and blocking it out. So all of a sudden, the last couple months, I've seen ding, 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 hour here. I'm like, oh, thank you. But then I have the neuroticism that I have to book that. So I don't have what you have because I can edit my calendar. Maybe I should not be editing my calendar.
You need to lock this dude up here.
Dude, yeah. That is great. That's a phenomenal idea. I'm like, hey, I'm on the right track. I love that. Power room. Let's talk about the power room and the mastermind and the power of proximity. And I think every entrepreneur needs this. You need to invest in your education. It's not an expense. It's an investment. You're the most important asset on the planet, right? Your income can only grow as the extent that you grow. That dawned on me a few weeks ago. I'm like, because people are like, well, how do I get to the next level? Well, you got to get to the next level with your mind first, with your skills, and then you can get to the next level. So let's talk about that power room, the place you play in that proximity.
Yeah, you know, power room is, I'm not a huge fan of the word mastermind. Back up. I like the word mastermind. I think that it's overused in today's industry, right? Mm-hmm. And everything is a mastermind. Everything is that because it's sexy to sell. But for me, it goes deeper. For me, understanding my wealth, this is a guaranteed take it to the bank. It will cash this check every single time. That your net worth is only is directly 100% connected to your network. There is no way around that. There is absolutely positively no way around that. There's an old saying that says birds of a feather flock together. And that is never more true than when it comes to money. Poor people hang out with poor people. Middle class hangs out with middle class. Rich hangs out with rich, and wealthy hangs out with wealthy. If you want to get into a point where you have legitimate cash flow, freedom, financial freedom, real wealth, you have to surround yourself with those people right there. Mm-hmm. That is an absolute must. So power room for us was a way that we decided, hey, look, where we're at in business, right? I think that you should be, I don't know if you guys have a multifamily mastermind or not, but if I'm in multifamily and I want to be in multifamily, I would 100% without question search out and find a group of multifamily, highly skilled investors/teachers. And that's a big component right there. I don't want just a teacher. I want a teacher that is also an investor. I don't want you to tell me what you did 10 years ago. I want you to tell me what you did 10 days ago so I can learn from it with you, right? So I would find that group and I would go join those types of people because that's going to be your fastest shortcut to where you want to go. For our mastermind, ours is not a real estate based. It's not a marketing based. It's not a business based. For ours, we based ours off of a CEO. We call it CEO mastermind for entrepreneurs that are CEOs, meaning they've created wealth. They're multimillionaires, but they're trying to look for angles to grow and they're looking for opportunity. So our mastermind is really built off of high level, high successful CEOs. We have everything. We have $1 billion energy drink companies in there, all the way down to, of course, we have real estate in there and every kind of business you can think of in between. They're really there. We have 12 other mastermind leaders inside of our mastermind, which goes to a whole concept of understanding what abundance truly means in life inside of it. So that's what the power room is for us. It's an opportunity for the CEOs to be able to get together and learn from each other because that's the true mastermind. I think a mistake that people make right now is when they join masterminds, the mastermind is the person on stage that's leading it. A true mastermind is built from within because everybody is a genius. Everybody has their gift and is finding out that. I don't even speak at my own mastermind. I kind of MC it, but I don't speak at it because I want the focus to be on the people and the geniuses in that room right there. So that's what our power room is.
I love that. You mentioned something. I have to go back to this because this is truly important, everybody. Andrew mentioned poor, middle class, rich, and wealthy. Now, they're not classes. To me, they're mindsets. And I'll give you a quick example. Poor person lives paycheck to paycheck. Middle person saves for an event. A rich person saves to buy an asset. A wealthy person is worried about his time and chasing opportunity. And that's breaking down into my 30-second spiel. But for me, middle class, I'm saving to retire. I'm saving for my kids' college. All of a sudden, when I decided, let me buy a 25 little unit crack den that's paying me 10 grand a month now, that's paying for my kids' college. All six of the kids are going to college on that. That's the rich mindset. Can you delineate yourself between what those four buckets are so people can at least start saying, I want to adopt the mindset? You need to adopt the mindset and grow in that mindset before you can actually assume that mindset.
Yeah, that's a great question. Here's what I tell you. You know, I've spoke to on wealth and building wealth and money all across the world, 23 different countries and all 50 states on some of the biggest stages out there. And I created the show, The Money Is Show, to talk about money. Mm-hmm. And what I found in it, as you teach it and you learn from all these different people as a teacher, as you learn as a teacher, right, is that the mistake that most people are making is between those four different categories right there is they were hyper-focused on the vehicle. What they did not understand is there's many, many answers for this question. Money is blank. There's many answers there. One of the best ones that I could ever teach anybody is money is a game. And just like any other game that's out there, whether we just talked about college football earlier, college football has rules to it, and there's 10 yards to a first down, and touchdowns are six, and extra points are one, and field goals are three. There's rules to a football game. For you to win and succeed at a football game, or it could be a freaking board game, Monopoly, it could be a Scrabble, it doesn't matter. But for you to succeed at a game, that game has rules, and you have to know what those rules are. The mindset, Gino, what you're talking about is the level of which that person in those buckets of poor, middle class, rich, and wealthy understand the rules of money was what will put them in what bucket they are in. And when they find themselves with understanding the rules of money, it puts them in a bucket that everybody else in that bucket, again, birds of a feather flock together, are playing by the same rules. Therefore, they're all playing the same game together inside of it. People hyper-focus on the vehicle versus the actual game. The game that we're all playing, everybody that's in business is playing the game of money. That is the actual game. Money is the game. Now, what we choose of how we go create it, whether it be real estate, whether it be a small business, whether it be entrepreneurship, whether it be whatever, that's just the vehicle. The true game is money. Therefore, to get to those four stages, talk to me about money and we can have a conversation as deep as you want to go in how money works. And that would tell me what bucket you're in, because that's your mindset on money.
Why are people willing to, okay, they're going to go to college for 6 years, spend a shit ton of money, but then they get out in the real world and they're not willing to then, they don't, there's a lack of understanding money and actually diving in and understanding what it's going to take. What's up with that?
I think it's from our childhood. It's like anything else. We're programmed certain ways. Another great, great book, you asked me a while ago, a great, great book, is The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker.
Yeah, baby. I love that book.
That is a tremendous, tremendous book. And it is more truth in that book about understanding the program mind that you have as a kid that you did not, that you had no bearing over. Okay. That's the cards that you were dealt and you were programmed a certain way. Until you reprogram that freaking brain of yours, you are in whatever road that is, which is most likely when it comes to money, is a dead end road. Mm-hmm. That's the road that you're on. So when they get out of college, they're still programmed. I don't care. You have a degree. You guys I know do multifamily. I guarantee you that you guys have probably doctors and other attorneys and dentists that give you their money. Now, what happens? Why? It's because, look, they could be great at a dentist. They could be the best dentist in the state of Florida, but that does not mean that they understand money. Those are not the same two things. You could be great at football and be in the Hall of Fame. That does not mean that you understand money. You could be great, which is why if you understand money, which is the actual game, you go do whatever you want to, because that is the actual game. But people, because they're programmed again with not understanding money and all the philosophies of that we've all talked about, money is bad and evil, and the scriptural side of which I could dive into here with you, and money doesn't grow on a tree. All those things are subconsciously. And if you ever study the subconscious mind versus the conscious mind, it is mind blowing how strong the subconscious mind is. So, anyways, to answer your question, Jake, when they get out of college, their subconscious mind is programmed for them to do a certain thing with money. And that's what they go do until they understand that money is the game. They find people like you, you guys, that can help them understand, oh, wait a second. I'm not even playing the right game. I'm on a football field trying to play hockey with hockey rules. No wonder I'm losing right now. Mm-hmm. But if you played on a hockey arena with actually ice skates and a stick and a puck, you would be much better because you understand how the game is played. It takes guys like you guys to help those people understand the actual game is money and what are the rules of that game? Why is apartment investing? I mean, you guys know apartment investing has to be one of the greatest investments that is sitting on the face of the planet right now. Like right now we have $1.5 billion under development right now. And we're developers. We have $1.5 billion being developed right now. Majority of that is in apartment complexes for multiple reasons that you guys could, I'm sure, dive in deeper than I can. But multifamily is like the greatest investments out there right now. Like I'm confused by why people are not inside of it. except for they're not programmed the right way.
Wow. So I want everyone to write this down. Number one, buy Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. We podcasted him a couple of years ago on our YouTube channel. Go get it. Two things I want you to write down. What is your money blueprint? Yep. Are you a millionaire? Are you a billionaire like Donald Trump even says it in the book? How is your financial thermostat? If it's set to 72 and it gets cold, it'll go back up to 72. So if you're programmed to make 100 grand a year, guess what? Next year, you're going to make 140. The year after, you're going to make 92. So you have to become aware and cognizant. And ultimately, it's about responsibility. Your fruits earn your roots, baby. Stop blaming the economy. I was blaming Obama back in 08. I was blaming everybody. Sucker, I'm the one who wasn't making the money. Everyone else was. What do I need to do? And Andrew said it beautifully. I wasn't playing the game of money. I was playing the game of small business owner. And what was I doing? Getting paid a week. That's really huge. That was an epiphany for me. The manifestation of Christ happened to me in 2008. I was like, holy crap. Once you realize that, then you need to start surrounding yourself. Then you need to start doing the hard work. Then you need to start, you know, getting on your skills and all that. We've been all over this podcast. There's such a wealth of knowledge. I have one more question before we go to the short answer, because I've looked at your bio. Your website's amazing. Everybody needs to go to Andrew's website. He's going to give all that information. But branding, as an entrepreneur, you've done an amazing job branding. I mean, can you give us a couple of tips on how, because we are all brands and the game of branding has changed. It's not Coca-Cola or anything. It's a completely different thing. The Jake and Gino is a brand. Andrew Cordell is a brand. Power Room is a brand. Money is a brand. You've created so many amazing brands. Can you give us some tips?
Oh man, I love this topic. In my opinion, I would tell you that focusing on my brand is what got me to a multi-billion dollar company. I partnered with guys that were already in business, and they partnered with me, and I was able to partner with them because I had established a brand, and I was able to partner into a multi-billion dollar operation because I had a brand, which is what they were looking for. So understand this, everybody out there, whether you want to or not, it's irrelevant. You are a brand. There's no way around it. You are a brand. The easiest way to describe it is this: a brand, is a emotional feeling. Okay, so this is the most important thing that I could talk about branding for days, but here's the most important thing to take away with you. A brand is a emotional feeling. So when you I'll use on a basic example, it doesn't matter in business or in just life. When you meet someone and you and that person are talking and you guys are hanging out and you're just going back and forth about different stuff. When you split from that conversation, you guys go elsewhere. You will have a feeling about that person. Whatever that feeling is, but you'll have a feeling about that person. That is that person's brand. A brand is an emotional feeling. So it's important to understand that everybody right now has a brand. When you listen to this podcast right now, if you're listening to it or viewing it, if you're viewing it, listen to me. There's a reason why behind me is what's behind me, because it's part of the brand, because I put certain things behind me. And I'll give you an example. When before we started the podcast, Jake got on and said, hey, is that a King Griffey Jr. autographed hat? And I said, yes. Why? It's part of my branding that I'm doing. I on purposely set that stuff right there so that I was part of my brand, because brands create an emotional feeling. Here's the big point that I want you to take away though. Break apart the three different types of groups out there. Brands that have sucky, or companies or people that have sucky brands, average brands, and great brands. Here's the trick of all of it. All of it. Here's what it comes down to. If you start with sucky brands have no idea what their feeling, what their emotional feeling is back to their customer. And when you go get it, when you ask them about it, they'll say, oh, well, look at my Google reviews, look at my Yelp reviews. And if they're negative, they're like, oh, it's a bad company. Then you have your average run of the mill ones. And these are the ones that they don't know what their actual brand is. They don't know what their feeling is. When you ask them again, they go to Google and it's like, oh, well, people say this about me. People said, here's how people feel about me. And they'll think that's their feeling. That is not the answer. Here's what separates all these to make you a great brand. Great brands first choose what feeling do I want my consumer, my customer to feel when they leave me. So when you do business with me, I have already predetermined as a company, as a brand, what feeling I want you to have about me. If you come to my Money Is show, which we do live in my office here, every last piece of that show has been dictated and thought through. We said, what do we want the brand to be? What do you want the customer to feel when they come here? And the answer was, we want them to feel an experience. That was the answer. We want them to feel an experience. Therefore, I send out text messages at certain times when they're my team does when they're on the way here. We've created parking spots for them. We have teams downstairs waiting for them when they get here. We have cameras downstairs waiting for them. Where we take them on the journey of my office, that's all was practiced and thought out and looked through from our team. Every last detail, where they go, what they drink, what type of water we give them, where they sit, everything we have thought through the process. Why? Because I create my own brand. A brand is a feeling. I want that person to feel an experience when they leave. Yesterday, I did a show with a guy. He just won the Snapchat award from Snapchat, the number one award that Snapchat gives out for marketing advertising. He spent over $10 million with Snapchat on ad spend, selling products for people on Snapchat. I shot a show with him yesterday. He was the chief marketing officer. If you watch the TV show, The Diesel Brothers, Heavy D and those guys, he was their chief marketing officer for those 9 years, I think. When he was here yesterday, we shot a whole show with him. My show takes about 5 hours, start to finish. When they leave, one of the last things they do is we take them in this green room and they shoot a kind of a video when I'm not there. My team takes them in there and ask them certain questions. And that's because what I'm looking for is actual feedback. They don't know that's what they're giving me, but I'm seeing if I'm hitting my mark. Am I hitting my mark? And so on the video, we'll always ask them, hey, what was your feeling today when you came on Money A Show? And I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times, they will say, man, it was a crazy experience. I had no idea. This was start to finish the best experience of a podcast I've ever been. And they will use that word experience. I'll never say it. My team doesn't have it on the walls anywhere. It's nowhere. But great companies choose the feeling that they want their customers to feel. That's the center focus of everything. The wheel around it drives everything to that feeling. So when I spend money on my custom air fresheners, I choose my own scent on my show. Why? Because it's important, because that is driving my brand. Everything drives my brand. Therefore, I hit my brand 9 out of 10 times. When that customer leaves on camera, they'll say, oh man, this experience like rewind and skip like an old freaking DJ. And it will sound like that on 100 high level CEOs. That is what branding is. You create the emotional feeling, and then everything you do is spends money, time, energy, creating that for your customer base, and you will create a massive brand. That's a long answer. I apologize.
No, it was great.
It's a passionate topic.
You just went Blue Ocean Ninja there, dude.
I love branding, man.
It's awesome. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you interested in building a future in multifamily real estate? Would you like to meet like-minded individuals? If the answer is yes, you'll want to pay close attention to this. Jake and Gino are often asked about putting on a multifamily event where individuals just starting their journey in multifamily can meet like-minded individuals and gain high-level education as opposed to bits and pieces online. Jake and Gino have decided to create something we've never seen anywhere else. We're calling these our pop-up meetups because we're going to get together for a few hours and discuss the three pillars of any successful real estate deal: buy right, manage right, and finance right. The next Jake and Gino pop-up meetup is March 18th, 2022 in Austin, Texas. For more information, just click the link below. Attendance is limited, so you'll want to reserve your spot today. We look forward to meeting you in person at our brand new pop-up meetup this March in Austin.
All right, guys, we're back. Talked a lot about scaling early on. And again, multifamily, that's our lane. That's the lane we stay in. We got, you know, folks coming in early on. What tips can you give someone starting to scale their multifamily business?
Okay, so the question is someone who's coming in and they want to scale.
Getting started early on. Yeah, they're looking to grow. So they're getting started in early on. Multifamily is their journey. And they're starting to scale the business. Instead of, remember, we're talking about like pulling the carpets out and doing all this stuff. You start multiple businesses.
Yeah.
What's the highest and best use for this person to start scaling that business?
Find a partner. I would find someone that is legitimately, again, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I would find someone that is already doing what I want to be doing. They're already successful at it. If I want to get to 1,000 doors, they have 1,000 doors and they're currently doing 1,000 doors. And I would find a partner, a company, someone like that, that I could partner with on deals. Because the amount of education that you can learn, it is the fast forward button on your growth of building out. You talk about multifamily, this is for business or anything else, but on multifamily, we're talking about now. Multifamily is tricky, man. Multifamily is not as there's a lot of moving parts inside of multifamily. You know, single family, that's why so many people go into single family, is because there's just that one house and they feel like, hey, my uncle owned a rental property one time and I think I could probably, I could probably do that. And so therefore it tends to drive people over to the single family side. But the multifamily side, because of the ability to scale and get into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doors, and the diversification of what it provides you versus one home versus an apartment with 85 homes or apartment with 185 homes, the diversification that it gives you is what I'm looking for as an investor. So I would, if I was trying to scale multifamily, is find someone who has what I'm looking to get in the end and partner with that person, partner with money, partner with time. If I got to start off on the LP side, I'll find a way to get into that deal. If I got to start off as the bird dog to go bring the deals in, I got to find that, yes, that person that I can partner with to help get me up that ladder as I can go.
It's what Gino said earlier about that financial thermostat. You may be looking at single family saying, this is easy, this is obtainable, but is it really where you want to be long-term? And if you find the right group, that's going to shorten your learning curve. So I think it's a fantastic point. You mentioned a book earlier about setting up personal habits and how you schedule your time. What is your personal best habit for success?
Oh, yeah. I would tell you, I'll give you the answer. It's a little bit of a tough one, but as a leader of a company, as a leader of a team, as a leader of staff, my number one focus is leading myself. That is my focal point, is leading myself. Gino mentioned earlier when he's talking about, I want to show up to office and be way up here and try to drive people, catch me up here, not down here. And so as a leader, I focus the majority of my time on trying to develop my own habits, my own rituals, my own routines, and put focus there. To the point of, I'm going to show you something that I never show anybody sitting right here in front of me. I live obviously by calendar right here on my desk. I have an iPad that sits there 24 hours a day, and all it is my calendar. So anytime I look over here, I have my entire calendar laid out. Of course, it's on my phone, everywhere else. But this iPad is nothing but my entire schedule of what I have going on today. But past that, I have this little thing right here. I know you can't really see it from where you're at, but this right here,
it looks like a little blue journal.
This is a planner. This is a 1 month planner. And I have probably spent, I'm going to tell you, probably $50,000 on this planner. I built this planner from scratch. I don't sell this planner. That's not my intention. But I'm so hyper focused on kind of biohacking, shortcutting the process, that every planner I got, every meeting I went into, I couldn't get what I wanted out of it. And so I literally built a planner that has every last thing of my day, of how my day operates, the meetings that I run. I could break all this down for you, but I'm that dedicated to my personal growth that I will spend 50 G's on a freaking custom planner. Not, when I say custom, I don't mean I went to another website and you can move stuff around. Dude, I mean, I went to someone who actually drew this out, changed it 1,000 different times, but every day I have everything I'm supposed to do inside of it. When I leave this podcast, I'm going to go to a meeting, and right here I have a whole meeting page with meeting notes, and it has, what is my takeaway of this meeting, or what was the team takeaways inside this meeting? Who was given what responsibilities? It's all laid out for me. So if you ask me the question about, you know, what's the one thing of like productivity and so forth, I would say you got to be dedicated to your personal growth, to your personal development, to your personal habits. And I'm saying that from a standpoint of, I literally put my money where my mouth is, because I'm so dedicated in making sure that I'm doing what I'm living it, my potential to the absolute fullest, as much as I can. I have in this book, how many glasses of water I drink a day is in this book for every single day of my use. Did I take my vitamins today is inside this book as a check mark. Like, everything I do is inside this book because that's my life, right? So that would be, that's what I would tell you is, are you that dedicated to your own personal habits, your own personal growth? Because that's what's going to get you to the next level, period, anyways.
Mm-hmm. It's creepy. I do the same thing in a less, I would say a little less formal, because I don't have the book, but I literally have, for the last probably 12 years of my life, every week I have a piece of cardstock that is kind of detailed out the same way, and I carry it with me, and I literally get ridiculed and picked on by the people mm-hmm. on the team, because it's like, oh, where's you know, your Apple calendar and all this stuff. But dude, this shit works. So I'm with mm-hmm. you on that. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you? Where can they find out about the mastermind, et cetera?
Yeah. So one thing before I tell you that, I'm going to do you a favor, man. I'm going to, because you're kind of like me, I'm going to mail you one of my planners and let you let you
play. What about my trailer park card stuff, man? You can't be hating on it right now. Old Faithful works, bro.
Hey, bro, you can mail me one. Don't worry about Jay.
I'll take it.
I'm going to take it from the trailer park to the multifamily, okay? He's got
a nice infinity pool, man. We're going to be rocking it. I can't wait.
I'll mail you guys. Again, it may not even work, and I'm saying sincerely because it may not work for you, because mine was
literally pretty damn close to what I'm doing right now, just in a lot like cleaner
my life. Like, it's built for someone who runs companies, and I want my daily stuff on it. So I'll mail you one. Yeah. You guys can have it. They're mine. They're not for sale. So if you're on the listening, I'm not selling these. I'm just going to send them one of my copies. I print these every month from a local shop. They literally cost me about $300 per book that I print, because I only print them at, one or two at a time. And they hand make a lot of this stuff on it for me. Because I'm such a OCD weirdo on it. If you want to follow me, man, just hit me up on Instagram. It's probably the best place. It was just my first last name, at Andrew Cordell, on Instagram. I literally DM people back. I'm not so big that I don't DM people back. So if you hit me up on Instagram, I'm happy. I have at night, because of my OCD, I'll sit and watch TV, but I can't do just that because that's weird. So if I watch TV at night, I'll normally jump on Instagram and DM people who message me. So that's probably the best way. You hit my website if you want to on that as well, but probably Instagram is the best way, man.
Dino, what you got?
You give me a couple of minutes. I may throw a little opera in there because it's a great story. I mean, que cosa bella, na giornata in sole. What I love about it, he's a philosopher, and philosopher means the lover of wisdom. And that's what you need to be an entrepreneur. You need to love wisdom. You need to become wise. You need to put in the work, put in the grind. And if you've been listening to it, Andrew started out going to college because he wanted to become a teacher. His parents did it. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he thought. But then he's sitting to himself, I've got this OCD entrepreneurial thing. I don't even know what it is because no one's even talked to me about money. I'm looking at real estate. That's what I want to do. I've got books here, but I'm not really paying attention to the professor because he's making 50 G a year. I want to make 50 G in a day. How do I do that? Not by listening to him, but by leveling up, putting in the work, getting into the real estate business, and then ultimately growing that and growing other companies. And 23 businesses later, and talk about NFTs and talk about all these different blue ocean strategies. And getting into growth. I mean, how many of you out there balk when you hear $25,000 or $30,000 for mentorship? Andrew spent 50 G's on a book that he's not even going to monetize and make money on. So where are your priorities?
No, he is. You got to look deeper and figure out how he's doing it. So,
well, not yet, but he will. But it's all about investing.
I'm talking about what it's going to do for his businesses. That's the difference. Not the book itself. Right. It's what it's going to do for him in the future growth of the company.
Yes.
Because he's not going to miss shit. Yeah.
And what it has done for him. And that's the thing. He's focusing on himself. And even though it's amazing, he's saying he's OCD, sitting on the couch, watching TV and doing Instagram. It's amazing. Multitasking. He still has the ability to focus and to look for that next opportunity. And I think ultimately he's working on what his skill set, what his strengths are, and what his passion is. He's not living a life of scarcity, as a lot of us are out there. He's living a life of abundance and trying to grow businesses and trying to create impact. And I want everyone to go back and listen. How many times did you hear Andrew say money, or this is all about money? It's not about chasing money. It's about chasing the opportunity, which ultimately leads to more money, but we're not doing that. Profit, as I like to say, it's the fuel. It's not the destination. He's not talking about starting a business, multiplying that business, running that business, then flipping that business and going to the next one. He's just talking about that opportunity, that hunt. That's what he loves. That's what drives him. So as you're listening to this, everybody, what fuels you? What drives you? What's your passion? What are you here on this planet for? It's about making impact, not just money. The money will come once you create the impact.
You understand the game, to Andrew's point. So I love that piece of it. Andrew, it's been real. Really enjoyed your time. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Andrew.
Appreciate it.